All right. Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that we could reconvene up here for our English message for today. It's great to see everyone on this nice, beautiful, high 70-degree day as compared to the 290-degree days that we had previously. But any day is a great day to worship God. For those who haven't been around, just want to fill you in that in the last several weeks during the combined messages, Pastor Lee has been giving a message about, you know, the infinity life that we're living, the eternal life we're living with God. And the message right before the retreat, he talked about infinite love, right? He talked about infinite love, talked about God's love for us and how that fills us up and overflows into others. And then just last week, and I still remember the AI image in my head of being plugged into God. Being plugged into God in order to continuously live the life that he has set before us. He used the image of a grapevine that's currently a branch that's grafted into a tree, and also a plug that's actually plugged into an outlet. And I thought to myself, well, how do we do this, realistically speaking? How do we allow ourselves to be plugged into God regularly? And I know that we stress this every week when it comes to reading the Bible daily, praying regularly. And I wanted to lean into that more for the summer, right? We have 3 or 4 meetings up here over the course of the summer. And I wanted to take the opportunity to give us a chance to plug in by digging deeper into God's love for us. Now, there's different avenues in which I could go about this. And I chose for this summer, through God's helping, to do this through the parables. Parables, which are stories that describe different things that God wants us to know about Him, His kingdom, and what we should know as His people. And I want to focus on the topic of God's love for us through the use of parables, which, if you've read the Gospels, you know that this is how Jesus tends to like to teach His disciples about certain truths. And that leads me to this image today, which is... Okay, here. One man's trash is another man's treasure. All right, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Anybody heard of this before?
Yeah.
So, you might have lived this out at some point in your life, right? I know that Cheryl recently participated in a garage sale, right, where she had some things that she no longer needed, and hopefully she made a killing there. But I myself, you know, I have also recently engaged in not garage sales out there because it's too hot and you have to drive. So, but I've been scouring the online marketplace, right? And just looking for deals because there are just certain things that people don't want anymore because they think, oh, it's useless to me, but could actually end up being used for something else, that it might hold some value for someone else. And why do I bring this up? Well, because it lends itself to our passage today, which is set up by a certain situation that arises between Jesus, some people that he's talking to, and some judgmental onlookers, all right? So our passage comes from Luke chapter 15, and if you read the chapter as a whole, it might be very familiar to you, but we're going to dive deeper into it over the course of the summer. But let me set up the scenario here. In Luke chapter 15, 1-2, here's the situation. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And even though they're just stating a fact, you could tell by the looks on the faces of these Pharisees and lawkeepers that this was a derogatory comment. That the fact that Jesus was sitting with sinners and tax collectors was a thing to be not only frowned upon, but a thing to be mocked, right? Thing to be criticized. And why? Because in the eyes of the religious elite, the eyes of the people who feel superior and superior about their own religiosity and who are prideful, they felt like these people were not deserving of Jesus' time. They felt like he should not be associated with them, that they were essentially human trash. And knowing this is what they were thinking and hearing, and probably overhearing them, Jesus proceeds to kind of tell them why they are wrong through the course of three parables, right? Because whatever perception that these religious elite thought they had of God and how God would feel about these certain people, Jesus was about to show them that what they were thinking was totally off base. So that leads us to our passage specifically for today, which is the parable of the lost sheep, which comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 3-7. And what you're going to see from this are three observations that are probably obvious, right? And it's this. A sheep manages to lose its way far from the shepherd. The shepherd makes a great effort to save the one lost sheep. And the shepherd celebrates over the sheep that was lost but now found. And I hope that as we go deeper into this story, as we plug in, that you will experience God's love for you. So I'm going to read the passage and pray, and then we'll get to the first point. Here, in Luke chapter 15, verse 3-7, it says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven for one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." May you pray with me. Alright, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to dive deeper into your word. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to receive the love that is expressed in this story. And I just pray that when we think about the sheep and the relationship with the shepherd, may allow us to think about our own relationship with you, Lord. So once again, may you grant me wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the message that's intended for each one of us going through whatever we are going through in our lives right now. And in all of this, I'm going to give you thanks because you're a wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the first point, a sheep manages to lose its way far from the shepherd. Alright? So, here we go. How did I get here? My first...
AI.
Yeah!
Oh no!
My first attempt.
You're doing it
My
too.
First attempt.
It'll start.
But you know what? I, Oh, you recognize...
Yeah,
because for ChatGPT, you need to create an account, right, to do the images. So, but Gemini is alright. So, but you'll see why. But you'll see later on why I'm like, oh, sometimes it's hard to use it just because it's hard to change things up, and you'll see why. But here we have a sheep that's wondering, how did I get here? Now we know that's not true because sheep don't really think that deeply. But in the large scheme of things, because this is a story, here we have a sheep that's lost. Now, it may not be thinking, how did I get here, but it's probably panicking and knowing that it's in a place that doesn't recognize, there are no surrounding bodies of other sheep that that it knows, and as a result, the one person who's meant to watch it is not there, right? So we have a sheep that's wandered off on its own, and the question is, how did it get there? Well, if you think about sheep and the qualities of it, historically sheep are very simple creatures. Some people go so far as to say it was dumb, but since I try to be nicer than that, I'll say it's very simple. Sheep tend to be simple creatures, and as a result, it's very easy for them to wander off on their own. which is why historically they've always needed to be guided, shepherded, if you will, protected from the dangers around them. You see this depict. You see this happen in real life. You also see it depicted in movies. Anybody ever watch Babe? You know, instead of a sheepdog that protects a sheep, you have a sheep pig who, rather than uses aggression and intimidation to round up the sheep and make it do certain things, it communicates and empathizes with the sheep. But all this to say that sheep can find themselves to get lost very easily because they are simple. They can be caught by outside forces with very, very little power of its own to protect itself, to defend itself. And sheep is an imagery that often appears in the Bible, which makes us wonder if this is meant to be a story about a larger truth of the world around us. Who could the sheep possibly be referring to in this story from Jesus? That leads us to this. Who does the Bible tell us are sheep? And I have a few scripture passages from the Old Testament and New Testament to give us an idea of what the Bible is telling us about who the sheep are in this world. Right? In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, which is a very, very prophetic passage, it says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Or Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus looked at the crowds of people, his reaction was deeply tied to this imagery. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So what the Bible is telling us, if we dig a little bit deeper, is that when it comes to the sheep in the story from Jesus, the sheep represent people. People in this world. People who have gone astray. They go their own way. People who might feel a little bit lost because they have no shepherd. No one protecting them. No one guiding them. They're defined as helpless. And I know that in recent years, the word sheep has been a little bit charged, right? Especially in the political setting. No one ever wants to be associated with being a sheep, right? Because it's associated with weakness. It's associated with idiocy, really. But the thing is, if you think about it, if you think about you as an individual person, and you think about being in a wide open world that we're in, a world that's full of dangers, a world that's full of dark forces that we can't even see, is it not possible that when you look at people from that lens, that they very well could be seen as sheep? People who can find people who at times can find themselves overwhelmed, helpless, or susceptible to dangers that they may not even be aware of. And as a result, they could use a little bit of help, use a little bit of protection, use a little bit of saving, right? And that leads us to who does that saving. And here we have the shepherd that makes a great effort to save the one lost sheep. As we move through the parable, we have a sheep that's one out of 99 that gets lost, and the shepherd doesn't miss a beat when it comes to doing what he needs to do to save the sheep. But I want to take a poll here, right? Because I'm very curious. Let's say you yourself had 100 sheep. You have one get lost, and you have 99 left. What would you do in that situation? How many of you, by show of hands, will leave the 99 behind to go after that one sheep? I got hand raised. I got no. Anyone else? No? All right. So I was very interested to see what would be the motivating factors for making this choice here, right? So I thought I would go to a very, very unbiased source. I went to ChatGPT. I'd like to know what would be the most logical decision a chatbot would make when it comes to this situation. And, you know, I wish I had the foresight to put the response here, but it was too late for me to do it. But you know what it said? It said, well, if it is reasonable that 99 will remain safe if you were to leave them alone, then I will go after that one sheep. But if it is not, if they will not be reasonably safe, then I will not go after that one sheep. But this took a couple prompts to get to that point, because they were very wishy-washy about their answer before I got them to decide what they themselves would do. But at the end of the day, what they said was, what we try to do is to minimize the potential loss of life, right? So if you know that leaving the 99 behind, that there will be no loss of life for the 99, then you go after the one sheep because there is a very high potential loss of life. But if you leave the 99 alone, and there is a high potential risk, then they won't chance it. Very methodical. So here, when it comes to the shepherd, back then, during biblical times, when you leave sheep out in an open country, when you leave them behind, there is always the risk that things could get worse if you were to leave them behind. And yet, despite that risk, despite that chance, the shepherd did not cut his losses at all. He didn't. He decided that one sheep, and this is what I mean, right? I tried to change the prompt and use the same exact background, right? But anyways, because I want sheep to be much farther away. But the point here is that this shepherd did not cut his losses. Logically speaking, if he wanted to preserve the life of all his sheep, he should have stayed with the 99. But he was so set on finding that one lost sheep, he was not willing to leave that one sheep behind. So he goes after it. And who knows, right, in Jesus' story, how long it took the shepherd to find the sheep. Because because we don't know if he had to travel half a mile, a mile, maybe more than that. Or maybe the sheep tumbled down a hill, right, and you had to go down there. All this to say that we don't know what it took for the shepherd to leave his 99 behind to go after that one sheep. But he eventually did what it took to do that. He went as far as he needed to go to get there. He put the sheep on his back to do this. And I say this not because that's how AI depicted it, but because I looked into it, and apparently if you consider that a sheep is 100 to 200 pounds on average, the easiest way to carry a sheep on the longest distance is on your back, right? Anyone who's carried two bags of rice knows that the best way to do it is on your shoulders, right? So all this to say that he left the sheep behind, went as far as he needed to go, exerted all the strength he needed to bring the sheep back to safety. He stuck to it until the end. So it's great that this particular sheep has a shepherd that cares about it enough to do this for it, to find it when it was lost. But if this bigger story is about people and the lost people who are in this world, people who are struggling to deal with the dangers that this world provides, sometimes the dangers that are within us because of the sin that's within us, then who is the shepherd in this story? And the Bible lays out the answer, once again, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here. Whoa. Stuck to it till the end, right? Here, in Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. In Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 12, it says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." In John 10, 14 to 15, it says, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus talking. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So, what the Bible tells us here is that in this story, in which the shepherd saves and rescues the sheep, God, in our reality, is the shepherd who saves us. Is the one who rescues us from all the dangers in this world, especially as it pertains to the sin that causes all of it. And the question is, why? Why would someone be willing to lay down his life for a being that is, one might think, is much lesser than the value of the one who's making the sacrifice? Why do that? Right? And we see the answer in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16a. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. A shepherd lays down his life for a sheep because of his love for his sheep. And if we are God's sheep, and Jesus is willing to lay his life down for us, the only reason for that is because of love. And I want to hammer that home because I know that sometimes in life it's hard to remember that truth because of the way life can be, right? Sometimes when we're going through life, we're experiencing certain things, and we wonder, God, where was your intervention when we needed it here? Where was your protection when we could have used it in this situation at work? Or where was your guidance when we could have used it when it comes to dealing with our parents or siblings or children at home? Sometimes it's easy to question how much God loves us when sometimes we feel a little bit lost, right? But the Bible reminds us of what the truth really is, despite the feelings of certain circumstances that may arise from time to time. That ultimately, we have ultimate proof that God loves us because Jesus Christ has laid down his life for us. And he didn't just sacrifice himself for us for the sake of sacrificing himself. He sacrificed himself for us so we can be brought home. Because remember, the shepherd, when he arrived, he didn't just chastise the sheep and just leave him where he was. He brought the sheep home. But I want to also highlight the manner in which he brought the sheep home, because remember, they said that the shepherd was... The shepherd joyfully put the sheep on his shoulders, and he goes home. He joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulders. So yes, he could have been mad at the sheep. Yes, he could have been. Just indifferent, just annoyed. But he joyfully put the sheep on his shoulders, which means that the sacrifice, or the manner in which God chose to love us through Jesus' sacrifice, was one that's associated with joy. Alright? There we go. But as I said, he didn't just do it for the sake of sacrifice. He did it because he wanted to bring the sheep home. Which is this. When someone we love is lost, we want to bring them home. And you might be wondering, what is this a map of? Can anyone I mean, because of the distance, I couldn't make it any larger. But can anyone make out the destination in the
Chicago?
Okay, so that was the departure point.
St.
Louis. Close to St. Louis. That's Greenville, Illinois. Right, Greenville, Illinois. So why do I have this map on display here? Well, because there was a time when Sofina was still living in Illinois where she had to go to Chicago, right? She had to go to Chicago for a conference. She was supposed to be like a judge in some kind of chemistry competition or whatnot. So she went from Greenville, Illinois to Chicago, and it's at least a four-hour trip, right? So whenever she goes on a road trip, she always lets me know, okay, when she's leaving, how she's doing, and then when she arrives home. But during this particular trip on her way home, you know, she doesn't have an infinite data plan. So as a result, she could not text me to let her know of progress. And because she has no data, she has no GPS. So as a result, imagine driving 4 hours without a GPS, right?
You used to do that.
I know, you used to do that. So it's because of that that I, yeah, it's because of that that I had to bring her home. What happened was that she called me saying that she's on the road, she's sleepy, but also she has no GPS, so she's not sure where she's going exactly. Because her car, which is very, very old, has some kind of GPS, but it wasn't working great, right? So essentially what I had to do was I had to ask her as she was driving, what do you see? What signs do you see on the road, right? And as she was telling me, as she was driving, what she was seeing, I had to find her on the map. Right, I had to find her on the map, and then once I found her on the map, I had to tell her, look, it seems like you're on this road, and you should be seeing certain signs. Do you see them? It might take a while, it took a while, but eventually she was able to confirm that she saw the signs that I noticed on the map. So I said, okay, this is where you are, so what you gotta do is, you gotta take this exit to get to this road, to get to the next exit, to get to that road, right? And I stayed on the phone with her for like 2 hours, right? So she could at least get to an area where she was familiar with. And once she got, she was eventually able to get home. All this to say is that, you know, I could not be, you know, I knew she would be fine even though I was on the phone, but it comforted me to know that she was eventually able to get to an area where she was familiar with so she could get home. But I had to do what it took to help her get there, right? Like I said, when someone we love is lost, we want to bring them home. We want them to get to a place of safety. We want them to get to a place where we could be assured that they're gonna be all right. And when we do, that is something that's worth celebrating, right? Because that's what Jesus does when he sacrifices himself and people come to faith. He brings them home. And that leads us to the last part. The shepherd celebrates over the sheep that was lost but now found. And here we go, celebration ensues. Yeah.
We're all in the forest now. We're all lost.
We're all lost.
I know, but they should be in the middle.
The
sheep's butt is missing.
I know.
What?
Limitation of AI, I'm telling you. They still have a long ways to go, right? But anyways, they're celebrating, right? The shepherd calls over his neighbors and friends to be like, I'm going to rejoice because my one lost sheep came home. But the key thing here is that that little bit that they said at the end of verse 7, where it says, just so I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no shame. Meaning that, if you look at this picture, you'll see that that one sheep that was lost is now highlighted as compared to the 99 sheep that's faded into the background. And why is that? Because, as I just read from that verse, this is meant to be about something greater. And that's this. Yeah. It's a different celebration that takes place. Why? Because the Bible tells us that when a sheep is lost but is now found, it's the same thing as a person who lives in this world, who wanders around, maybe without a sense of direction, maybe without a sense of hope of being saved. When they come to realize that they need to be saved, when they come to realize that they need a Savior, when they come to realize that the Savior can only be Jesus, they give their lives to Him. And when they do, that happens. The joy, the celebration, the cheer. I just realized there's still sheep in the background. But all this to say is that that is what happens when one person comes to faith. That is how God feels when one person who was lost comes home. And why do I try to hammer this home? It's because sometimes I know that as Christians, especially if we've been Christians for a while, that initial adulation, that initial excitement might fade over time. But we need to remember that this is how God feels about us all the time. Right. This is how God feels about us all the time, even though life in this world might make that feeling seem impossible. This is how God feels about us all the time. This is what we mean to Him. But for those, maybe, who have not experienced this, they might wonder, how do we get here? How do we get here? And I'll draw upon that same passage from John chapter 10, but earlier, where it says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, who climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So how do you get to this point? Well, you get to this point by responding to the shepherd who's calling your name, right? As we see from this passage, God is seeking people out. God's seeking people out. So God's already taken the first step. And the question is, are you willing to take the step of response, of responding to Him calling out to you? Now I know many people here have already taken that step of responding to God's call to you. But if God's calling you and you haven't taken the step to repent of your sins, give up that life that you previously had, where you thought maybe you knew better than God, and you realize that, no, I need God as my shepherd, I need God as my Savior, then this is what you do. You respond to the call. And with that, I'll conclude with this, right? I kind of shared this in some bits and pieces in previous sessions, whether it be a message or a Sunday school. But in my own conversion story, I was a tree in Wildwood, New Jersey. Now, I tried to do an image for that, but it was too scary because I was like, who are these Chinese people that are on this image, right? They actually created Chinese people with, you know, Wildwood retreating sign, and I'll show you later on, but it's really weird. So I couldn't do that. But I was at a retreat in Wildwood, New Jersey, and it was on Saturday night, and all the youth were in one room. And the speaker was speaking to us. And he's talking about a topic which is really near and dear to my heart at that time, where he's saying that some of us are just afraid to commit to God because we feel like we're just not good enough, that we're never going to be able to live the life that we're supposed to once we become a believer because it's just too much pressure, right? But he highlighted that no matter what, whether you do very well as a Christian or you fail, you know, you have your ups and downs, that God's going to love you nonetheless. And that right now, that night, there was a pool that was in front of everyone. Not a literal pool, but like a spiritual pool, right? And we're all standing around it, looking at this pool, which is meant to be God's love. And the question he asks us is, do you believe that God loves you? And if so, just jump right in. Jump right in. And right away, it felt like something clicked for me, right? I don't know what it was, but in that one moment when I heard the guy say that, it felt like God was actually talking to me. At that point in time, I jumped right in because he was right. I was scared. I was scared of the pressure of living the life that I would be committing to in faith. I was scared of taking something that I knew I was not worthy of, you know, this gift that God was giving. But all that was washed away because of this pool that was in front of me. And news of my decision spread like wildfire that night, because that Sunday morning, the person who was speaking on that Sunday morning service highlighted that out of the hundreds of people that were there in that retreat, only one person became a believer. That was me. And when everyone found out about that, it was just applause, right? Because a decent number of people knew me. They knew what I was going through in terms of being at the church for years, but not really being a believer. And there were smiles, there was, like I said, clapping, and there was just a lot of congratulations. Even now, I still remember that night. Why? Because it was a time where it felt like, because that night was probably one of God's clearest calls to me, out of his love, out of his mercy, out of his grace. But it's also a helpful reminder that exists for us all the time. And sometimes it just takes reading the word, praying, to remember what our connection to God is like. The fact that God is our shepherd, the fact that we are his sheep, and that he loves us. And my goal for this summer, as we go over these parables, is just to hammer home the fact that God loves us, and that hopefully, as you tap into it, will allow you to not only receive that love, but give it to others. Alright? So let's pray. Alright. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for this time you've given us to just dive into your word, to dig deeper into what it means to be your sheep, to have you as our shepherd, and to know how that is meant to be applied in our everyday lives, Lord. Sometimes life can throw itself at us in a way that we feel a little bit lost, but Lord, you know how to find us. You know how to find us, you know how to bring us back. So I just pray that you know where each one of us are right now. Maybe we're in a place of safety, maybe we're in a place that maybe not so much. But I just pray that no matter what situation we are, we always look to you, because you know us. And like I said, you know how to bring us home. So just bring us home, Lord. We thank you for everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.